Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
By himself, man-to-man coverage at the bottom. Consistent, but right there, Sealer just beats Lowe for a huge play.
Tagovailoa gets it to Waddle. Full acceleration. Touchdown.
Is it over? I was just starting to enjoy it.
Excuse me? What exactly were you enjoying?
Don't let the final score fool you, folks. Don't let the fact that the Patriots only lost by 19 points today in their South Florida House of Horrors, the latest iteration being Hard Rock Stadium, the final score of 34-15, once again squished by the fish, Tua Tagovailoa running his record to 7-0 against the New England Patriots at large. Do not let anything, the Christian Gonzalez return for a touchdown, his first touchdown. What a game to score your first tutty in. Do not let the theatrics, the running, the heroics of Drake May dupe you into thinking that this was a good day for the offense. Don't let anything delude you into thinking anything other than this. The New England Patriots stink. They are not a good football team in any way, shape, or form. They followed up their worst half of football that I can honestly remember. I'm talking the Cam Newton run. COVID year, anything Mac Jones related. Would you put that one hard up against, was that first half today worse than the Dallas game last year or the New Orleans game last year?
Without going into details, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say not quite as bad. But I'm also thinking I'm remembering those as a duo, and I'm remembering the hideous throws from Mac Jones for the pick
six.
They
lumped in the awfulness together.
Yeah. So, if I went to back to break it down, it was pretty bad. Don't get me wrong. It was a different kind of bad, I think, but disgustingly bad. I kept alternating between gross and my notebook. I was writing plays down and just writing gross next to them, gross. And then my tweet word of the day was yuck, because I felt like pretty much everything you looked at from this Patriots performance was yuck.
Oh, that's funny, because the word I kept writing down in my notebook rhymed with yuck.
Oh, that is
first
true.
First of all, yuck.
See? Mego
even
agrees.
Mego didn't like it.
Hey,
can we just
yuck.
Go back to arguing about Alex Van Pelt and Marcus Jones on the pregame show? That was more fun.
Can we just get to the offseason?
All right. Honestly?
I mean, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to start breaking down every prospect and draft pick and
I'm not. You don't want to know why? Because literally, Andy, literally everybody that would come from another team or another college program to play for the New England Patriots would by and large be better than the people that play for them now. Or maybe
not. Especially if they're linemen. This is the worst collection of offensive linemen
ever.
I've ever seen. And I am so annoyed. I don't know if this qualifies, and I don't use this word because I struggle to use it properly. Everybody overuses it. But I'm pretty sure we were gaslit, correct? By Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf,
yes,
about the offensive line. Like,
I believe so. I thought you were going
to
trot out your favorite triggering word du jour, continuity.
Yeah, no, you can stick the continuity. If you stink, it doesn't matter if you stink the same every week. That doesn't make anybody feel better that you get the same GD penalties every week and you have to bench a guy every week. They stink. They have no talent. Not even the magician Dante Scarnecchia could fix this group. It is beyond repair. But it just annoys me that we knew it sucked in March and April and May, and we
of
had
2022
to listen.
And 2023.
Well, yes. But we had
I
to listen.
I can't believe I got snookered like that.
See, I didn't really get snookered, but the repetition from Elliot Wolf, I started to wonder, am I being too negative about the line? And then Gerard Mayo told us it was, quote, overblown, that the line was bad in training camp. No. As I continue to say, it was blown quite properly because this line blows. Vidarian Lowe gets the B back on his name. Nice, yep, man. Bad offensive lineman. I can't tell you how many texts I got about Jacobs. Like, how is this guy in the NFL? He stinks. And They all stink. On Wenu was the only
Michael
guy.
What does Michael Wenu do for $19 million a year?
Yeah, I'm not sure he, but I also just wonder, is it really harder to play line when you know everybody around you stinks too? And I also, we need to talk about it. I hate doing this.
Okay,
but
go ahead.
We're going to have these conversations about some of these coaches, and Scott Peters is going to be one of them. He is not maximizing anything. He was getting openly mocked by Adam Archuleta throughout the broadcast about, you know, another play where multiple runaway rushers are headed towards Drake May unblocked. Usually there's one, but you don't often see two. And like, that's offensive line, that's scheme. This is some chicken, you know what? There is no chicken salad here at all.
No, there is none whatsoever. And we will be sifting through the refuse, the manure, some of those little fat bergs that were washing up on the beaches of Australia that stunk the visitors and the tourists miles away. We'll be sifting through all of that on today's edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart, following the failure against the Finns, the S show in South Beach, the garbage in Miami Gardens, Dolphins 34, Patriots 15, Patriots now running their record against the Miami Dolphins to in Florida, Andy, to 16-43. Pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, not good. And Tua remains undefeated against the Patriots, even though Skylar Thompson tried to come in and screw it up with a fumbled scoop and score.
7-0 against the Patriots. 7-0.
I would say it's unbelievable, but it's not unbelievable. He's got some talent. He's a competent quarterback. He tries not to make too many mistakes. He's relatively accurate.
And also, craziest thing, Jaylen Waddle has been a non-factor for the majority of the NFL season.
And then he waddled away.
A lot of us probably wish we could have waddled away probably halfway through.
Oh, I sent many texts to friends that were like, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm done with this poop emoji. I'm not watching this poop emoji. I have better things to do. And I was like, you son of a.
You're so lucky. Anyway, the point being on Jaylen Waddle, and I'll get to yours in a second, that Jaylen Waddle was on my bench in fantasy the last several weeks. Not that anyone cares about my fantasy team. This is not a my fantasy team issue.
Actually, give me a moment, though. Talk about this game or break down Fitzy's fantasy team.
Honestly,
sadly, a bit of a debate going on. I'm torn in my head, and it's a big head.
So Jaylen Waddle just hasn't gotten it going this year the way a lot of us would normally expect him to. But when things aren't going well, Andy, what do you need to do? Call 1-800-PATRIOTS, and they are the get-right team for each and everything that ails you. Of course, you guys know the number if you want to call in, vent your complaints, get your grouse on, piss and moan, whatever you need to do. We're here for you till 7 o'clock. It is 617-779-7937. The socials are open and available. He's at Jumbo Hart. I'm at Fitzy GFY. And we're broadcasting to you today from the fabulous Boston Sports Original that is at WEEI and all of their affiliates. Joe Braverman, producer extraordinaire, will be monitoring the text line at 37937. And of course, if you'd like to, because you're hip, tucka, 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 I'm hip, Scott, you may want to join us in the 22nd century. Watch us on Twitch and enjoy the program there, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. We will carry Drake May
live. Why is your background a blur?
What's that?
Why is your background a blur? What do we got going on there? You hiding something?
I left it on from the other day when the office was a bigger mess, and I've yet to turn it off, and I don't want to knock myself off of the Zoom by going into settings, so I'll fix it during commercial.
You notice anything for me?
You got an on-air button back there.
Nope. Something you bitch about.
The drawers are closed.
And the door is fixed.
Oh, the doors are hung this time.
There's always one Twitch complainer who says, Andy, fix your door.
I fixed the effing door today.
See, well, I wish you would
Gerard,
go fix the effing Patriots.
You can fix things. You can see something that's broken and not working properly. Use some tools. Get creative. Do whatever you need to do and fix it. If I can fix a door, you can. Yeah, you can't fix your line. So let's just move on.
Honest to God. Yeah, you can. So Twitch, the radio, whatever. We'll carry Drake May live. We'll carry Gerard Mayo live. Our pal Chris Scheim from The Morning Show will call in later with the Drake May report card. Of course, it's all brought to you by our friends at McFarlane Energy. So I was ready for this to here's Gerard Mayo
across the board, and then give up 24 points in the second quarter definitely is a hard pill to swallow. And then look, we saw some fight at the end, which is encouraging, but at the same time, this game, you got every single play counts. I thought we gave up too many big plays defensively, did a better job in the run game, gave up too many big plays tackling. scheme, whatever you want to call it, just overall execution defensively just wasn't good enough. On offense, they did some good things, but anytime you lose a turnover battle, it's always going to be a tough game. And then special teams, we just got to continue to improve on that. The last thing I told the guys, it's all about us. And this is before the game. I said, it's about us. It's not about anybody else. It's about us and to make a commitment to one another. And that's what the game really came down to. It's us going out there, you know, kicking ourselves in the butt or stomping our toe against the wall because of penalties. We don't have a team. I don't think any team wants to go backwards at any case, in any cause. But we did that today. Sorry.
Did you get a sense this week in practice that something was off or did you not have a good week? No,
I didn't. Not at all. I thought the guys were locked in. We just didn't walk away with a win.
Doug, what do you blame on the coverage breakdowns? We're not used to seeing that from this team historically. So what's the cause of
that? Historically or even this season? Just a lack of communication. A lack of communication.
The six pre-snap penalties in the first half. Five on offense, one on defense. How much of that is a reflection just on the coaching?
Yeah. Look, it starts with me, and we've had these hiccups of, you know, games where the penalties really affected us, and it did today.
Do you think that first drive, the first sustained drive in the first quarter, the two penalties brought it back, and then you kind of went conservative in the middle and then went for the field goal, did you feel like things stalled out there? How much did you...
In the first quarter? Yeah, to me, in the first quarter, you're still trying to just get a vibe for the game, how they're going to play us and how we're going to play them, and how they're going to match our stuff, so...
How concerned are you that this was a big spot for you guys coming off a loss, division games, and you guys kind of came out flat today?
Yeah, we came out flat. And look, it's a long season, and it is a long season, and the guys, they recognize that. You know, when you get the schedule early on, you got to see, like, where the bye week is. And saying that, look, no excuses from me, and hopefully no excuses from the players. We set to be better.
Defensively, where do you go from here?
You know, for me, nowhere but up. You know, a lot of that stuff going back to the big plays, like, it starts there. Like, the defensive line in the run game, I don't think that was a problem this game. It was just a big play.
Hey, Jerron, how do you coach a guy, and you've been there, done that before, and play, as a player, how do you coach a guy who keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over again? How do you get to that guy?
That's why we're coaches. You know, we got to find a solution, whether that's you got to figure out what lever to pull to get a guy going. And sometimes, look, it could look good during the week, and then you get into the game, and it's a surprise.
They went up tempo just like they did in the first matchup. Was that, I believe, them trying to stress your communication when you said led to the breakdowns?
I wouldn't say so much. You know, tempo is always difficult. Those guys come out with one-word plays, and we just have to – I felt like we were on the same page out in the field, if that's what you're talking about.
It seemed like both tackles were struggling on it today, but specifically you decided to pull Demontre Jacobs in the fourth and put in City. So just what went into that decision there?
Yeah, he was having a tough game, whether it's penalties or blocking the edge. He was having a tough game, and we got to protect the quarterback. As an offensive lineman, that's what we do. We protect quarterbacks, and we got to open up holes for the backs.
Was there a reason you chose to take out Demontre and possibly not Darian? Like, was there a reason for one over the other?
No, not at all.
How much, if at all, did the health of Christian Gonzalez come into how things happened there?
I mean, we saw the injury report. He was dealing with something. He worked out before the game, and we thought he was ready to go.
Jerron, on Monday, you said we have enough talent in that room to win football games. How do you rectify that with falling behind 30-0?
Yeah, it starts with me. I think it starts with me and, you know, getting these guys ready to go.
Jerron, there's some assignment breakdowns that seem like in the red zone.
Absolutely.
Just, like, what did you see on those plays at the agent?
It wasn't a secret. They used motion and shifts and things like that to confuse the to stress the communication, and we just weren't on the same page.
Early in the game, first drive, 4th-and-1 for your own 39. Any thoughts of going for it there?
The thought was there. It was the best for the team.
George, you say it starts with you, but when do the players have to start looking at themselves? I mean, you can only do so much. What is it on the players?
I mean, look, it's always, look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them but our coaches to go out here and play better football. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead and Joe, do me – I know we have a lot of hard drives. There's a lot of memory space for audio because we have, you know, new clips coming in every day from people around the country, our Patriots players, coaches. Go ahead and just delete that one right now. Go ahead and just, you can wipe that one off the hard drive. Gerard Mayo said, absolutely nothing of consequence, absolutely nothing of use. That was a post-game press conference that sounded like it was read straight off the page of Football for Dummies. What to say when you lose by 20 points on the road and it's never competitive? Andy, what was that? What is he doing? I'm asking you seriously. I love this football team so much. I'm not trying to get myself in hot water because I'm the Joker on the Jumbotron. What is that?
He's in a tough spot, obviously. You go down to Miami and you get your ass kicked, and the game never really got close. I know there was a chance if they put a drive. Miami gave you a touchdown. It's an obvious gift when the other team puts in a backup and then pulls the backup and puts their starter back in. Bill Belichick did that once, I believe, with Matt Cassel in a game way back when. I feel like I remember that.
My mother hung me on a coat rack once.
Well, I feel like sometimes talking about history is a lot more entertaining than talking about this team. But, it's a bad football team, and it starts with him. That's fine. I give Steve – now, two questions for Steve Burton. I give him credit for saying at what point is it just on the players? It does start with you, coach, and you got to coach better, and 100% they all need to be better. They need to coach less meowy, because I think football karma caught up with them when on 3rd and 16 they run a little inside handoff, get nothing, we'll just kick a field goal, doink, you missed.
Sly was knocking them through from 65 before the game, so we'll take the three. Are you kidding?
Right. And who
what
are
a
you
loser's
just, like,
mentality?
Take a three. Do you have some great defense? You're going to win this game 3-0 or something? What are we doing here? You're supposed to be building for the future. You're supposed to be trying things. Try to score a point. That I thought that was a little karmic kickback that hits the upright, and then you get blown out basically there afterwards. But I would say the other is the question about what do you do when somebody keeps making the same mistakes over and over again. Was that a Drake May question? I wasn't really sure if that's what Steve Burton was alluding to. Because I don't know that Drake May keeps making the same mistakes. He keeps making mistakes. And the fumble, I think the fumble was the worst play he's made as a New England Patriot. He saw the rush coming and still decided, I'm going to do the hold it out like this, I'm still going to throw it. Darn ball away. The turnovers in totality don't bother me. That's a big thing. We even have some really loyal listeners who I find very positive and generally optimistic that are every time I try to feel good about Drake May, the turnovers come.
The text line last week was lighting up about that, and I remember how much that rankled, ruffled your feathers.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about the turnovers. Again, Adam Archuleta, an NFL player, you would think whatever you think of his commentary,
pretty good safety.
Whatever.
He was no Rodney Harrison, but...
But, he's noting time after time the number of unblocked rushers coming at him. Also, seemed like every time they did anything, there was a penalty, and then it was 2nd and 16, 2nd and 15, 3rd and 15. That's not a way to play football. I don't care if you're Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. That's not a way to play successful football, and you're putting your rookie in that position with a bunch of bums in front of him on the offensive line and really no consistent passing game. I thought it was really glaring early on that, was it even halftime? I forget. At one point, I think Waddle was already over 100 yards. Jonnu Smith had 70. One had 6 catches. One had 5 catches. And Drake May had 6 completions to 6 singular receivers. Nobody was really doing anything. Nobody was hot. There's never a hot hand. He did, thankfully. I do appreciate that he got one more recruitment video in, rolling out and throwing back to Hooper for the touchdown.
The kid's a gamer. The fact that he never finds ways to pull Houdini's touchdown scores, plays, and highlights out of his you-know-what, because...
And that's what we have to live off of for now. Yeah, right.
That's it. Hey, T. Higgins, here's why you should come play for us. Who's calling the plays? Who's going to... Yep, here is the quarterback.
It's disappointing that the second possession where you were driving so much and just to have it stalled the way it did.
Yeah, just penalties. I think penalties just hurt us. I think hurt us kind of all the whole first half. Just hurting ourselves. I feel like we had a chance to move the ball on these guys, and they're pretty good up front, and they have a good defense that we faced. Just... And nothing that they did, I think just penalty set us back and kind of put us behind the 8-ball. We just can't do that, in this league.
Yeah. Does it feel like you guys are maybe, instead of improving this time, you guys are kind of taking a step back?
I wouldn't say that. I think these penalties are something that, you can control. I don't think, when you see something improving, I think – we're making plays, and we got a chance to do some things. But I think penalties are something that, it's not necessarily an easy fix, but, it's more focus and listening, to the calls and to the cadence and little things like that. So I don't think it's something where we're just getting beat and out-talented. I think it's just something that we're hurting ourselves. And so we got a chance in these last games to put some good film on tape and find ways to give them, find some wins.
How do you feel about the cadence and the calls for you?
Credit to the stadium. I think they're louder than, pretty loud at times. And, I think just being on different cadences, we worked it all week and just sometimes, don't blame those guys up front. They got a tough job. They got to get off on the snap count and get back there and block some pretty good guys on the edge. So, I don't blame them for getting off and trying to get a good set. I think sometimes those happen. I just think we had too many. I think holds. I think some of them just push down first down. You're getting first and 20s and second and second and 16s. It's just hard. It's hard to pick up first downs and move the ball.
One of the misconnections with Demario, you kind of. Another miscommunication. What happened?
I just missed him. Yeah, we got a chance to put ourselves and go score and put some points on the board and keep us in the ball game. Really, some more just mad at myself. We caught him in a blitz from the boundary blitz that really was nobody covering. So just got a guy hit him. That's an easy throw and just missed it.
So much of this year, we've talked about learning experiences. Doing this for the first time on the turnovers. What do you take on those that you learn from going forward on those two?
The fumble, just find a way to protect the football and go down, or find a way to get it out. I think maybe could have spun out of it, and kind of reversed out of it, and maybe could have escaped it. But other than that, just can't try to swim move the guy with the football. It's just bad. Protect the football. We preached it all week, and I didn't do that out there. And the interception, just trying to check it down and happen to get tipped. So I'm not too worried about that.
What touchdown to Hooper?
Just a broken play, and just trying to make a play and put some points on the board.
You guys are down the way you were, Drake. Are you more willing to take risks that might result in turnovers because you guys do have to push to?
Yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard to balance, trying to make plays and keep drives alive. We're in third and third and long, or the last touchdown is fourth and 15, just trying to make something happen. Give us a little light, and ended up happening. Gonzo put us back in the ball game, and then go down there and turn the ball back over. So. It's tough. It's frustrating. And I know we got better football ahead of us, and this wasn't our best product today.
What's your final question? You've won a lot of games throughout your life. How are you handling the struggles right now?
Yeah, it's tough. Anytime you're losing, I think just, like I've always said, I hate losing more than I really like to win. So losing sucks. And I think, I told some of the guys inside, I just remember this feeling. I remember this feeling of really getting our butts whooped today. And I think, it's only up from here. And we got a bright, a lot of bright future and bright players in there that are making some plays for the Patriots.
Do you think the game could have been different if you get a touchdown in that first? It's the second possession, but in that first sustained drive, do you ever think back to that when I think it's a whole different game if we score there?
I think so, maybe. I think it's easy to say. It's a whole new ball game, and go and score 14-7, make it 14-7. That's a lot better than punting it away and making it 21-0. So, but thank you.
Okay, so I think we actually finally heard a little bit of the country competitor and the human coming out in Drake May there. Losing sucks, you're right. Also, penalties. Can't live with them. Can't play with them. They do kill you. They're drive killers. They make it impossible to do what you've scripted out and practiced and prepared for all week. Good for him. I like the candor I heard there, Andy.
I like the candor. I'd like it more if it weren't September, October, November. 3+ months of the same, I almost just said the S word, crap. So I remember in training camp when Hunter Henry, I believe it was, said something to the effect of, we got to stop doing the stuff that takes no talent. Like, lining up properly, not false starting, like things that they're not even getting to the competitive portion of football, right? To where you have to compete with a guy, right?
Training camp opened up 4 months ago, correct?
Okay, so yeah, 4 months ago. Four months in the making. This is a poop pie. That's all this is a Thanksgiving poop pie. And I don't
poop pie.
I don't know what you do. They stink. I know they're physically not good, but let's just get to the point where you stink. And I understand he's trying to be a good teammate in terms of, they got a block and they're trying to get a quick, jump head start on a guy. Like, don't. I'd rather you get run over. Well, DeMontre Jacobs, you did get run over a couple times, and you got run by. Chop Robinson really kind of handed you your lunch
that
a little bit.
That kid can game.
Yeah, but I just, it's the same effing thing. This is where I mama don't let your babies grow up to be NFL coaches, because if you're not good, I don't know how you don't have ulcers and anxiety and sleepless nights and a drinking problem and just everything. Like, I don't know how I would handle all this. It's month after month of the same crap. And what do you do? What do you do? Like,
Uber420 put it best in the Twitch chat. They are toilet bowl water in a public stall.
Well, here's the question, though. Like,
at a strip club at 1 a.m.
Okay, it's one thing, Andy, if you draft, sign, pay, and play a team that physically doesn't have the talent commensurate to the other teams on your schedule, your division, the conference, etc. But the football IQ of this team, I think we can all agree, is sub-junior college.
Well, certainly the line. I mean, the receivers.
A lot of this team now is not playing with the kind of football IQ that is necessary to compete in 2024 NFL and or that we're used to seeing wearing a New England Patriots uniform.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And now some of it, I don't know where the talent problem stops and starts compared to the football intelligence and those things. There's a blending of those, I feel like, at times on the offensive line because they are so poor pre-snap, but then they're often quite poor post-snap if they get to that point in the process. And it's frustrating. It's infuriating. I don't know. Again, I get back to how much it bothers me that Elliott Wolf thought the group he put together was good enough, which, by the way, isn't this group. This group is made up of half the guys he claimed or brought in after he'd already built a group that he urinated out and said, this is good enough. This is more than good enough. Like, no. It's not raining. I know what's going on here. I'm no dummy. And he tried to convince us otherwise.
Lane, I've been going to this high school for 7.5 years. I'm no dummy.
Okay. Exactly.
The original line was supposed to be Chuksa Okorafor, Sidy Sow, David Andrews, Mike Onwenu, and who was supposed to be the original right tackle?
Caden Wallace, maybe?
Caden Wallace or Vidarian Lowe. Vidarian Wallace. Caden Blow. Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, we even had that other guy. Calvin Anderson was in the mix.
Oh, Calvin Anderson was off. Remember, where were you in the Anderson era ended?
When did it end exactly? These guys are so not memorable that they just kind of end and you don't even care. It's
Random question before we catch our first commercial break, come back and get on to all these probably delightful, lovely, non-emotional calls. 617-779-7937. If you want to try to jump into the Patriots party that is the Six Rings postgame show today. Aside from Mike Onwenu, will any of these guys be on the Patriots offensive line or this team next year?
Maybe Vidarian Lowe is a swing tackle.
Just to satisfy is he related to somebody?
I mean, it's really hard to go.
Is there a penalty prerequisite? Like, we have to get a certain number of false starts a year. So
yeah, but you think they're going to go? They haven't been able to find one tackle, and you think they're going to be able to go find three or four that are better than Vidarian Lowe?
Stacey, I don't own a gun, let alone multiple guns that would necessitate a gun rack.
Right. Like, what are we doing?
I'm going to pull out every 80s and 90s movie reference I can today to try to cheer you people up, because, man, am I up in my Foxborough frustrations. All right, Hart, let's take a quick break. Refill your coffee mug. Sneak something in there if you need to. We're going to strap in and just get down to the bottom of this. 617-779-7937. To the calls next, we talk to you, the good, embittered, frustrated, and aggravated people of Pats Nation, here on the Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart, brought to you by McFarland Energy, only on WEEI.
He's primarily been up against Tyreek Hill. Tucker by low over the middle. Smith taken down, tacklers, and he bowls his way in for the Miami touchdown.
Oh, I just read this on the interweb, so it must be true, Andy. We'll get to Jonnu Smith absolutely just running roughshod all over his former team that he stole $25 million from in a burlap sack, although, granted, he's surrounded by much more talent now, and last year had a team and a scheme that seemed to suit his talents and understand him better, but it's official. The New England Patriots will not be winning the AFC East this year. They have been eliminated from contention to win the AFC. So I'm sorry, everybody. Anyone who had plans on another hat and T-shirt day, as Teddy Bruschi used to call it, sadly, that will not be coming to fruition. Andy, your thoughts?
Well, you can still buy like regular hats and T-shirts with just like Flying Elvis or maybe Pat Patriot or something like that.
Yeah. What about that? What about that snazzy new logo that everyone keeps complaining about? The circular one says New England Patriots football team or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I don't really love that either.
That's a little too generic for my liking.
Yeah.
But hey, I saw a mock this week on someone's Instagram where they had the I've seen the all iced up Patriots one where they go like white helmet flying Elvis.
Yeah.
White on white, kind of like that. I also saw the, what do they call it, dark mode. Somebody did an edit where they did like black Pat's helmet, all black outfit. That's what I always wanted Brady to come back as in 2016. Like, oh yeah, you're going to kick me out of the league for four games because of some fuzzy math and false science. You know what? We're going to come back as the expats and F your, for like Hulk Hogan when he came back as a member of the New World Order. That's what I wanted them to embrace.
Dark side.
Yeah. Notice we're not talking about the game because the game sucked.
Hey, can I do a long tease?
You want to do a long tease? Is this a vertical or a horizontal? Like, is it going to pay off on your afternoon show or today on the post-game
today.
Show?
Today.
All right, so that's a vertical. Okay.
Later in the, probably in the 6 o'clock hour sometime.
Stay tuned.
I actually came up.
Lock it in.
With three thumbs up from this
Andy
game.
Hart found three things to put your thumbs up.
Your bum bum. I was proud of myself. Now,
the fact that you could come up with one is impressive.
I'll also tell you, I got a little creative, and you people are going to be mad when I tell you what the three are.
450, first you people.
That's kind of late. It took you over half an hour to get to your first you people.
I think we're all you people today. I don't even know what's going on.
Honestly, I've been in such
Andy,
a good
you're
mood.
A you people?
I'm telling you, I think this game may have broken me because it was the first game of the Drake May era that wasn't really enjoyable. Like, there wasn't really any entertainment value. You really didn't get back in it. Like, you had the one play. Literally, you had like one play from Drake May.
But it didn't matter. But that what sucks about that is that was an incredible play. You'll put it on the recruitment video, but it matters nothing today.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It did not draw any zero emotional response from me. Like, nothing because
you
of the time
and
place. Didn't matter. You got your ass handed to you today.
And
it wasn't that close.
I feel like it kind of, I won't say broke him because I don't think he's broken or even breakable. I've said,
but he was frustrated in the postgame, and we'll replay it later if you missed it.
I think there's a little bit of frustration. You know, he's not Malik Nabers, who I saw comments out of New York. I'm just sick of losing. A rookie used to winning, a very talented player.
By the way, Baker Mayfield doing the Tommy DeVito when they went up 23-0 was absolute chef's kiss.
Baker Mayfield, sort of the breakout sensation of the last year and a half, kind of like getting back to his swagger and who he was, a once broken man kind of put back together, and it's nice to see. I kind of like
him. And that's the same week that Cleveland actually gets a really cool victory as well. Did you watch the Thursday night game?
I did.
That was excellent. Now you want to talk about a box to wire entertaining football game. That was fun.
Well, it helps when it's snowing.
That always does.
Snow adds like a little theatrical. It's, you know, any movie or something, you're like, oh, the snow started falling. Unless it's obviously my favorite Christmas song, which will be coming right around the corner. And the snow turned into rain.
Nope, you can stop. That's actually, you doing karaoke, more fun than breaking this game down.
You're damn
all right,
right
to the phones
is.
We go.
Enough I'm better at karaoke than DeMontre Jacobs is as a right tackle.
That is the first thing that everybody listening to this show now and on podcast. And, of course, if you have to go, you can catch it later on the Odyssey app or make sure you subscribe to the Six Rings and Football Things podcast feed. Listen to it on Apple Pods, Spotify, Podbean, the Odyssey app, wherever you find your awesome football talk. 617-779-7937. The lines are jammed, just like the Patriots are not good. And we go first to the beautiful state of Texas. Talk to our friend Eric, who's down in Lubbock. What up, Eric?
Hey, guys, thanks. I appreciate being able to listen to you all the way out here in West Texas. So the Odyssey app is well worth it.
Yes, sir.
My two issues are this, and I know many people are going to cover. I have many if you knew my life in West Texas.
So the Patriots.
Yeah.
This is starting like a country song. I love it.
Yeah, my dog just died. I'm just kidding.
Did your wife leave you and steal the pickup too, Eric?
No, I'm not that lucky. So here are the things, okay? The first is the pre-snap penalties on offense are absolute killers. I mean, the first two drives, I believe, we had like four false start and a holding. Now, the holding I don't mind horribly if you're basically trying to make sure to save the life of Drake May, the future. But the pre-snap penalties, we had two drives that we moved the ball, but we kept going backwards. I'm not saying we win the game, of course not. But the pre-snap penalties, I would rather have like tackling dummies as our offensive line just mm-hmm. stand there to get in the way than the five guys that they've assembled for this. So the pre-snap penalties just run these guys for the next week and during their off week until they decide to just sit, squat, and not move until the ball is snapped. The second thing is, you know, about 80% of this roster needs to be overhauled. And that's the job of a person I'm not sure capable of doing it. And so when you talk about the offensive line, to a certain degree, the wide receivers, I mean, the defense has been gutted because they smartly traded Judon, fine. We lost Barmore early. We lost Wheatley, and we lost Jabril Peppers. Like, we're gutted up the middle. So we could be better if people were healthy. But offensively and defensively, I mean, the fact is there's very, very little talent on this team. And until and I'm just unsure of whether or not I want Elliott Wolf, because we sit here and say, well, he deserves another year. Maybe, maybe not. But the thing is, if we blow next year's draft and if we blow this year's offseason trying to get T. Higgins, trying to get maybe a left tackle and another lineman, if we don't hit it this year with another high draft pick, we're really going to be in sore shape. So I'm going to go bury my dog. My wife took the pickup. It was all right. I slashed the tires anyways during halftime, so she's not going to get that far. But I appreciate listening to you all, and I listen to Greg Hill in the morning too and some other of the afternoon shows. And so y'all are my lifeline out here in West Texas, so I'm going to hang up. You may not have much to say with what I had to share, but I got to go restring a guitar. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Eric. Good luck to everyone call. The rest of the postgame show living up to that call. I don't mind if they go long when somebody provides good analysis, true passion, and some quality content along the way. It's a shame about his wife and his best friend and, of course, their mutual drinking problem. But yeah. That said, great call, and we're happy to provide you with whatever forum we can to vent your frustrations. And thanks for calling, Eric. I agree. You know, he's right. Like, we all knew all along, Andy, that the upcoming free agency period with all the money they have, $139 million, the upcoming draft, in which, small bit of good news, it's not really worth much right now. It's like, you know, patting someone on the back and saying, don't worry, insurance will take care of it after you watch, like, you know, a dump truck plow into your brand new car. But Patriots are now up to fourth in the tankathon.
Oh, good.
So we have the fourth overall pick next April.
Okay, good.
So we can blow the fourth pick. Now, well, they nailed the first pick this time, but that was easy. That fell into their laps.
Eric is dead on. I don't really have a lot of faith in Elliott Wolf. It's come to sort of.
May I ask you real quick, Andy? Who is your faith and or confidence most shaken in right now? Alex Van Pelt, Elliott Wolf, or Jerod Mayo?
Elliott Wolf, and it's not even close. I think he's the worst based on the evidence of this year. He's the worst at his job in the Patriots organization.
But he may have been told to bite one and just like put together a garbage team so they could get more draft picks. I don't know.
He was told, okay, if they were intentionally tanking, then they suck at it because they could have very easily had the number one pick. The roster is definitely tank worthy to some degree. I don't believe that's the case. I think he was trying to piece together an offensive line that could get him to next year, and he did a terrible job with it. And also, let's not forget, the draft blows. There's no one other than Drake May from the draft class that has shown any life at all for this football team. And I'm with Eric. It's a scary thought to look at Elliott Wolf spending a top five pick in every round and $140 million and where that may or may not get us. Because if you screw that up, you're screwing everything up. You're setting the franchise back multiple years. You're setting Drake May back maybe forever.
You may waste the entirety of his rookie 5-year deal, which would
or
be
just his career,
which
or
would
just
be
his whole career.
Criminal.
So I have definite reservations about Elliott Wolf doing everything this offseason, but I also don't know the answer. Do you have a GM you want to bring in? Do you have a guy you've circled? Do you have a guy you like? Who would you come in to be the savior for the New England Patriots personnel department? But this is, I think, the latest, and I keep phrasing it this way, the latest, most important offseason in Patriots history, and also the scariest, because the man doing all the work has no track record of success.
And here we all were thinking that he was the perfect pick because he had been healed by the side of his dad, who was so great at it for so many decades with the Packers, and he was with the Packers, then the Browns, then the Patriots. Beloved, calculating, cold, clinical football savant. This first, worse than the talent that they assembled in callers. I'm going to need you guys to hold because I got to catch a break, and then we'll come back and we'll restart the 5 o'clock. No, we'll get.
Let's go straight through raw dog.
What are we on, a flight cross country and we're not allowed to look anywhere against the back of the seat?
No ads, just call.
That would have been more fun than today's effing game. God. All right. Sorry, I got a little heated there. I apologize. Actually, I don't apologize. I'm speaking how you feel all into existence, folks.
Andy, by the way, that's not how we get paid. we won't get paid if we don't run our ads.
That's the way it works. I have bad news for you, Hart. That's not how it works.
We appreciate our advertisers, too, especially McFarland.
Very much. And, of course, McFarland Energy, our sponsor here, the title sponsor here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. We all had so much confidence in Elliott Wolf, but I'll say this. Whatever you want to say about the talent that was acquired via free agency or undrafted free agency or just the trash pile that they continue to sift from in the dumpster next to the dumpster that has the reasonably fresh food behind the grocery store. Then there's the dumpster where, like, there's the flies all on top of it. And
maggots.
No one will touch it. Yeah, and we just keep pulling from that, especially on the line.
Maggots!
Right now, the draft, in hindsight, like, the Patriots draft is an F. And that includes Drake May, because everyone else is so bad. Like, I'll give it a D. No, he pulls it out of a failing grade, but...
He pulls out the D?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. If you'd like to... I don't know where this is going. The clown car is on fire.
Down the crapper like the team.
Exactly. If you want to get in and talk to us about the Patriots, we would love to converse with you guys as well. Chris Schein will call in within the next hour with his Drake May report card. It's probably not going to be very good, but then again...
If he's optimistic, I'm fighting him, because I love Drake May as much as anybody, but not exactly a great day for Drake May.
Have mercy, everybody. A wild day in the NFL. We'll get to some of the other scores and some of the crazy outcomes that took place, including a barn burner that you could never have predicted in Washington today between the Commanders and the Cowboys. It's all coming up here on the Six Rings Postgame Show, brought to you by McFarland Energy with Fitzy and Hart, live on WEEI.